To each one of these five planets, Kepler associated one of the Platonic solids, and he made the guess that the radius of each planet's orbit was in proportion to the radius of the corresponding Platonic solid, when the solids are nested within each other in the right order. Kepler wrote that he had worked over the irregularities of planetary motion until they were at last accommodated to the laws of nature. To a scientist today, it may seem a scandal that one of the founders of modern science should invent such a fanciful model of the solar system. This is not only because Kepler's scheme did not fit observations of the solar system, though it did not, but much more because we know that this is not the sort of speculation that is appropriate to the solar system. But Kepler was not a fool. The kind of speculative reasoning he applied to the solar system is very similar to the sort of theorizing that elementary particle physicists do today. We do not associate anything with the Platonic solids, but we do believe, for instance, in a correspondence between different possible kinds of force and different members of the Cartan catalogue of all possible symmetries. Where Kepler went wrong was not in using this sort of guesswork, but in supposing, as most philosophers before him had supposed, that the planets are important. Of course, the planets are important in some ways. We live in one of them. But their existence is not incorporated into the laws of nature at any fundamental level. We now understand that the planets and their orbits are the result of a sequence of historical accidents, and that although physical theory can tell us which orbits are stable and which would be chaotic, there is no reason to expect any relations among the sizes of their orbits that would be mathematically simple and beautiful. It is when we study truly fundamental problems that we expect to find beautiful answers. We believe that if we ask why the world is the way it is, and then ask why that answer is the way it is, at the end of this chain of explanations, we shall find a few simple principles of compelling beauty. We think this in part because our historical experience teaches us that as we look beneath the surface of things, we find more and more beauty. Plato and the Neoplatonists taught that the beauty we see in nature is a reflection of the beauty of the ultimate, the nous. For us too, the beauty of present theories is an anticipation, a premonition of the beauty of the final theory. And in any case, we would not accept any theory as final unless it were beautiful. Although we do not yet have a sure sense of where in our work we should rely on our sense of beauty, still in elementary particle physics, aesthetic judgments seem to be working increasingly well. I take this as evidence that we are moving in the right direction, and perhaps not so far from our goal.